vitamin B.
Well, hello, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Guys, this is Ted. Of course, you recognize my voice, and you know that Austin's not with me. That means only one thing. He has a baby girl named Kendall. She was born about 2 hours ago, absolutely healthy, 2 hours worth of labor, full head of hair, 7 pounds, 13 ounces, absolutely stunning, beautiful little girl. So we are so blessed to welcome the second grandchild into our life, and Austin will be back with me tomorrow so we can go into detail about the baby and the birth and all the other stuff that you guys wanted to talk to me about today and talk or hear about. I had a friend of mine call me up a few minutes ago, and he says, are you really going to do the show today? And I said, well, yeah. I said, this show is my family. I said, you guys are my family. I said, you know, we pray for you guys every day. You know, you need to hear the update on the baby and what's going on with Kendall, and she was born healthy and all the other stuff. Because, guys, if we're not going to do this together as a team and work together as a family, and, you know, as far as you guys listening to this show every day, I don't know how to do it. I mean, I am cooked to the hip with you guys. I mean, I'm praying for you all the time. I'm standing in the gap for you guys. I'm basically praying blessings on all you guys all the time. So, guys, thank you. Thank you for being here for Austin. Thank you for being here for Kendall and Hunter and Harrison and Savannah and Alexis and Austin and me and Sharon and all of us and Gran, all of us. We're just one big happy family, and you guys have made so much of what we do possible. So I want to thank you again for your support, for your prayers, for your love, and just being here with us all the time. Guys, you know, yesterday we were talking about what was happening about in the event that we are talking about with the missile that was aimed at Hawaii, because now I'm assuming that that was a real live event. And now we have a confirmation. The NBC News crew spotted inside a bunker that sent Hawaii missile alert just hours before the alert went out. In other words, the NBC News crew was taken into the bunker in Hawaii that sends out the alert for the entire island of Hawaii just hours before the alert went out. The news crew granted access to a secure bunker that receives an encrypted call from USPACCOM if an airborne missile poses a threat to Hawaii on the very same day, hours before the botched alert went out to the public. In other words, they're already prepping us for the false flag. How many times have we told you guys that what ends up happening is they always have a staged event, a trial going on, that's what was going on. You know, there was actually a training event happening in Las Vegas when the event went live. Same thing with the Boston Marathon bombing. Same thing with 9/11. All of these things are staged events. Now, this is what Oahu IntelliHub is saying. It's been confirmed that an NBC News crew gained access to a highly secure bunker facility in which the January 13th ballistic missile threat alert message was sent from just hours before the message was broadcast, reportedly in air. Hours before the false alarm sounded with warning of an inbound missile, we had exclusive access to the bunker where it was sent. An NBC News spokesman blatantly admitted to in a January 15th report, which aired on the nightly news titled, Nerves Rattled Over Missile False Alarm in Hawaii. Now remember, this is a five-step process in order to put this alert out. It's not one of these things where somebody hit a button on the a wrong button on a console. The final alert goes out with two guys standing 8 feet apart with two different key switches that have to be turned at the same time, kind of like the launching of a nuclear ICBM, like you see in the movies. That's the only way they can send out an inbound missile alert. And suddenly now we find out that this news group was inside of the bunker. And the funniest thing was, and this is, I saw this on the video last night I sent out to my private list, there was a phone sitting there, and they asked, where is the phone? Where does this message come in for you to issue the alert? And there's just a key phone sitting there, which basically has all these multiple lines in it from, you know, like an office phone, just sitting there. I mean, we're not talking about the bat phone where you have a red phone that glows red and starts doing all kinds of yip-yaps whenever it goes off so you know it's the doggone code phone, there's a missile inbound. Here's the problem. If you've got 10 inbound lines on a phone system, which looks like that's what that had, and the phone, you're talking to your girlfriend or your boyfriend if you're working there, or you're just chit-chatting with one of your friends, and the doggone thing lights up and there's nobody there to answer it, you got an inbound missile, how in the world are you going to know to send out the alarm? I mean, this is ridiculous. It did not even have a dedicated line. It's complete and total nonsense from the news show. And you guys can watch it on TV or watch it, you know, you can look it up and Google it. So, guys, it blows my mind that this is going on, continues to go on, and that we, the people of the United States, are continually lied to over and over and over again as far as these false flag events. Now, guys, Dave Hodges is my host today, or my guest today. Dave, you with me yet? Todd's still trying to reach Dave. I told Dave he was coming on at a quarter after, so he's probably prepped for that. But what was interesting about this is I talked to Dave, and I said, Dave, how did the missile get shot down? Because, you know, if there was a missile, you know, we're speculating that it was disarmed, shot down, plunged into the ocean before it had a chance to strike Hawaii. How did that happen? Did we do it with one of our ships? Did we do it from a satellite-based system? How was this system taken down? Dave, you with me?
I am with you.
Okay, good. So, Dave, I'm speculating right now with the listening audience. If this missile, if there was indeed a live event, a staged false flag that somebody or something basically decided to put the shutdowns to, where did this missile come from if the deep state is running the government? Was this a laser-based defense system? Was it a surface-to-air missile? Was it something else? I mean, how do we know that this thing was shot down, and where was it shot down, and who shot it down? If the deep state is compromised and they're doing all of these things, and we found out from Robert David Steele that Donald Trump knew about the event that was happening in Las Vegas a week before it occurred but was unable to stop it, who stopped this? Any speculation on that whatsoever, Dave?
Well, since we spoke this morning and I told you that the system that they have to warn the public of an impending attack doesn't consist of touching a button. It's a five-stage process. I've learned that since we spoke this morning. In addition to the question you just asked me, what I have found out is there was indeed a missile fired at Hawaii, and it came from the west, and it came inside the Guam perimeter. In other words, the missile was launched inside of the Guam defense system that's set up to move to North Korea if needed. Now, that's what I have, Ted, and that missile was brought down with an EMP type of weapon.
Where was the EMP weapon fired from, Dave? Do we have any
idea? It would have been fired from the surface of any number of ships.
Was it an American ship that brought it down, or was it something else?
It was an American ship.
Okay, so basically we have elements of the deep state that are controlling things such as a missile launch, but we also have elements of our military that are still loyal to Donald Trump and loyal to the United States of America. I'm assuming it was a military ship that took this missile down, Dave.
What I was told was that the crew was informed. I do not have the name of the ship, but I was told the crew was informed this was a drill. But it was the missile fired at Hawaii.
Oh, so basically what's going on now, they actually went ahead another drill that went live, and the guys basically thought it was going to be a drill and took the... Oh, my gosh. So basically what they're doing was another drill that went live with the launch of a real missile, and our guys basically intercepted it, unlike with 9/11 when they were told it was a drill. They basically did not scramble the jets. This time they scrambled everything and made sure they put their EMP weapon to work to take this missile down.
From the last person I spoke to about this, and I think he's probably the most reliable source, he felt that this was a probing kind of attack, feeling that the missile would be intercepted, but they're probing the defenses to find out where we are weakest, so a missile will not be intercepted.
Okay, one more question then. Who fired the missile, Dave?
That is the $64 million question. My source thinks it is Israel without any direct knowledge.
So some Mossad, some rogue Mossad agent or the Mossad or whoever's running that sub, I'm assuming it's one of their submarines that has launched this.
That's the thinking. And I'll tell you, it makes the most sense too. If a missile hit Hawaii and we blame North Korea, we not only would attack North Korea, we would attack their ally, Syria and Iran. And Iran is the total goal here. Now, people have to understand that the Federal Reserve is in a lot of trouble. the world is running away from the petrodollar. We still have petrodollar support for our dollar, but not like we did. And the catalyst for this was Russia paying gold for Iranian oil in violation of international agreement that says it would only be purchased with the petrodollar. And an event with North Korea would eventually spill over to the world, and then Iran would be taken out. This is a lot of, this is what I've been told is coming, Ted. This is nothing that comes, you know, directly to me from one source. This is many, many discussions I've had about this with many people. But the thinking is a war with Korea will also bring war with Syria and Iran, and it's about the preservation of the Federal Reserve.
Dave, tell my listeners, and I talked about it yesterday, about the Liberty and what happened back when Israel attacked that ship. Tell them what the motive was for all that.
Well, it was basically to try to promote America to engage in aggressive actions in the Middle East on behalf of Israel. And they staged a false flag attack on the Liberty, attempting to blame whatever rogue nation of the day they wanted to blame, and then America would come in and side with Israel and attack whomever they said did it.
You know what's interesting, Dave, is that, you know, now we have multiple people that have linked the Mossad to 9/11 also.
Yes.
False flag to start this entire event, this domino drop in the Middle East, taking out all of these countries that don't have a central bank controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel, to bring in the greater Israel plan. Do you think that's what's going on?
I think there's no question. And I think that the deep state is partnering with the Mossad and Benjamin Netanyahu and that whole gang of characters. Now, I want to make a disclaimer here, too. I am not talking about Jews. I am talking about illicit government inside of Israel, irrespective of the people, and it's their version of the deep state.
I agree with you. That's 100%. We've never mentioned the term Jewish, Jew. I mean, because quite frankly, the Rothschild banking cartel, their fiefdom is Israel. We saw that through the Balfour Declaration. We saw that through the Versailles Treaty. You can listen to Myron Fagan's recording on that back from the 60s. He did a 2.5-hour recording. It's one of the best I've ever heard, explaining how they did that and how they forced the formation of the country of Israel for a place to be a homeland for the Jewish population in order to bring in their one world government through the Jewish temple and through the Antichrist. I mean, this thing is crazy when you start to get down to the religious and the spiritual aspects of what's going on in the Middle East. In fact, if you guys did not hear the show I did with Chuck Baldwin, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, last Friday, it's imperative that you listen to that show so you can come up to speed on what this is and what this whole thing of the greater Israel plan is all about, what rebuilding of the temple is all about, and all of the different things, dispensationalism. We discussed that in detail last week, and you really, really need, we talk about the Scofield Bible and Darby and all this stuff that caused all of these people in the United States, primarily Christians, a lot of Southern Baptists, of which I am one, to start believing all of this stuff. So it's been an interesting 170 years with all of this propaganda that's been pushed through the Scofield Bible and also through the printed media, also through the radio when it became available, and then the TV set, which is their ultimate goal, is to get everybody to watch TV. That's one of the reasons that Britain actually gave away TV sets back in the 50s and the 60s, make sure every household had that indoctrination tool in their house so that it would be easier for them to go in and basically brainwash the masses. So again, you think this is probably going to be a deep state, CIA, / central bank, / Rothschild, South, / petrodollar takeover, Dave?
Yes. Ted, do you mind if I give a little history lesson on World War I and how it applies here?
I would love for you to, Dave. You're my guest today.
Okay. World War One, you know, you had Woodrow Wilson who campaigned for the 1916 presidential election, and he says, "I will not send the young boys of America to die on the battlefields of Europe." And this is after the Lusitania was sunk. And this is after the Zimmerman telegram came and was intercepted. And the Zimmerman telegram, this is the biggest hoax in American history. The Zimmerman telegram was supposedly intercepted, and it was a telegram from Germany to Mexico, which said, if you attack the American Southwest, and we'll supply you with arms and ammunition to do it, we'll make sure you get back the Southwest that you lost during the Mexican War of 1848. Well, it's bogus on its face. We were Mexico's biggest trading partner, and General John J. Pershing, at the time that this telegram came through, was actually inside of Mexico with American soldiers chasing Pancho Villa at the request of the Mexican government. There was never going to be a Mexican attack. They were allied with us tightly, and they wanted our military to rid them of criminals that were trying to overthrow the government. The Zimmerman telegram was ridiculous on its face. It was a false flag document because Germany was in a stalemate with Britain and France. The front didn't move 20 miles in 2 years in deadly trench warfare, and Germany did not want the United States to come into the war with troops, because that would have swung the balance of power, which it did. So they never would have sent such a telegram. Yet this is one of the two major reasons. The second one was the Lusitania. Now this is even worse. The Lusitania is sunk in May of 1915. Well, Woodrow Wilson couldn't give the industrialists World War I, which they wanted, because the Germans were sinking one out of three American ships headed for Britain with war supplies. And Wilson told him privately, hold on to your jets, wait until I get elected. And he gets elected in November of 1916 and gets sworn in January of 1917 and declares war 3 months later. And that was to help the industrialists. The Lusitania was sunk almost 2 years prior to the declaration of war. It was all false flag material. In fact, the Germans even published an ad in the New York Times, and I used to teach from a history book a long, long time ago, that had a copy of this. And it said, attention travelers of America going on the ship Lusitania. Germany is at war with Britain. That ship is carrying arms and ammunition, and we will sink this ship, which they did. They warned us. The German embassy took out a full-page ad in the New York Times. This was all about a setup for World War I so the industrialists could get the world the way they wanted. Now, there's one more. There's a third part to this. Following the war, the globalists of that day, including the Rockefellers and Warbug and that first gangster group of globalists, tried to set up something called the League of Nations. Thanks to John Cabot Lodge, loyal American senator, he led a revolt in the U.S. Senate, and they did not approve the World War I treaty that would have put us in an international organization called the League of Nations, and we would have surrendered much of our sovereignty on the way towards world government. I submit this is exactly what's happening today in the world as we march towards World War III. You basically bring the earth to a standstill, and then you reinstitute the kind of planet that you want based on transhumanism. Gaia will be the religion. There'll be no Christianity. There'll be no free will. There'll be no United States of America. That's where this is headed, and World War I is the blueprint.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now, I'm kind of an expert on the Lusitania. So let me give you a little bit more. Let me give you a little more run back on that. Back before the Lusitania was sunk, the American population, because of the huge German immigration that occurred from 1860 to all the way up to 1920, the American population was a big percentage German. All of the Müllers or the Millers, all of the Browns or the Browns, all of the Schmidts or the Smiths, all of these different names are basically German ancestry in most cases. Now, if you look at the white pages in the telephone book, you'll see page after page after page after of Smiths, of Millers, and of Browns. So there were huge German anti-war protests all over the United States, and Wilson knew this. Wilson knew that there was no way he was going to get the United States in the war, because the bulk of the largest demographic of immigrants coming into the United States at that point, because of the Civil War having killed so many, was German, period. The hard-working, industrious Germans who were the Protestant work ethic, the core behind the industrial might of the United States of America and the farmland in the Midwest. So he knew that there were all kinds of protests all over the United States with German rallies saying, no war, no war, no war. We're not going to fight our uncles, our cousins, and our brothers. This is not our war. This is a war in Europe. We're not involved in this. Stay out. So what they did, they hired Edward Bernays, who's the father of advertising, the cousin of Sigmund Freud, the perverted Sabbatean Kabbalist. Both these were Sabbatean Kabbalists. They were both Luciferians. And they brought Edward Bernays in to go ahead and do this giant Jedi mind trick, I guess you could call it, on the United States population, in which they started running these huge full-page ads in the papers that the Germans in Europe at that point were baby killers and killing people and doing all these horrible atrocities to the soldiers, and just totally made up all, and it was all lies. It's kind of like when George Bush had that girl come on the air back in the early 90s, that the Iraqis had come into Kuwait and taken the babies out of their incubators and threw them on the ground. Complete and total lie, complete and total fabrication. Now, Bernays, being the Satanist that he was, he basically put up an entire protocol of how to force the American population into the war. Now, their wet dream, so to speak, if I can use that term, that vernacular, their unbelievable hope they could get was the fact that they could sink something or basically precipitate a war with America. The Lusitania was carrying armaments into England, into Britain, and which was a war with Germany. And Dave is exactly right. That's exactly what they did. They took out an ad in the paper saying, this is a ship of war. It is not a passenger ship. It is carrying armaments. If it comes into our area, we will sink it. Now, what's interesting about this is they always ran those ships at full throttle because the torpedoes couldn't catch them. We're talking antiquated stuff. These ships could run 25, 30 knots unless the torpedo was at just the right angle and missed the ship. They brought this ship to a dead crawl, dead stop almost in the water off the coast of England, and they took its escorts away. And it sat there basically lumbering around at one or two knots, knowing that they had had a report of a German U-boat in that area. The German, basically, captain of this U-boat could not believe this ship was sitting there like this as they set up as a target. He took one shot, that torpedo hit the area where they were carrying the munitions, the thing sank in just 20, 30 minutes. It was gone under the water. Thousands of people died. I have personally been to the cemetery there on the British Isles where this ship had sunk, and the people were buried in this cemetery, and it was in all the headstones. It says, victims of Lusitania, victims of Lusitania, victims of Lusitania, victims of the Huns, victims of Germany, all the stuff all over the headstones. When their people, their own government, set this ship up to be sunk by the German U-boats. And then Edward Bernays would absolutely start raving insane, would look at the posters from before World War I, and yet even after he did all that, saying how the Germans were baby killers and all this other kind of stuff because children had been lost on the Lusitania, what ended up happening is it took two more years to get enough people to say no more. And finally it was the shipping being blown up by the German U-boats that finally precipitated the United States going into the war. And by that time, Germany was pretty much, starving to death. But remember, the war was not being fought in Germany. It was being fought in France. Dave is right. This line didn't move 20 feet in years. And so they didn't know what to do because the American soldiers were coming in. They started bringing the American soldiers in. And then, of course, the Spanish flu hit, which killed 100 million people globally, killed much more than World War I did. And then what ended up happening is Germany signed an armistice. Now, the armistice wasn't a surrender. They basically had a ceasefire. They were never defeated. There were no troops in Germany. They were all in France. This is where the war was taking place. And Germany was told they'd be treated fairly. And then, of course, in the Versailles Treaty hit, Germany was charged all the war reparations. It precipitated World War II, which is exactly what they wanted it to do. They wanted to have a Jewish homeland. They wanted to precipitate the Holocaust. These international global bankers, you think, what in the world would they really do that? Yeah, they really do stuff like this, guys, because they wanted to force everything they wanted to force. Now, this is the basic history that Dave was talking about, and I want to just add a few things to it, of what happened with World War I and why the United States got into this mess to start with, and why we sent so many of our boys over there to die of the Spanish flu, which, by the way, is a vitamin D deficiency, if you didn't hear the show last week. It's caused from what's called a cytokine storm in the body when the macrophages are sending out messengers that are called cytokines for the immune system to function, but because of the vitamin D deficiency, it can't. Massive inflammation occurs. The person comes down with pneumonia, and the people who have the flu die of pneumonia. This is what was going on in World War I, and this is what was going on with the behind the scenes of the Balfour Declaration with World War I and also the Versailles Treaty of World War I. It was all being precipitated, funded, and manipulated by the Rothschild, Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian banking cartel, which started this mess way back when Mangini got the letter from Pike saying how this is they were going to start World War I. This stuff has been in the preps and in the preparation now for about 170 years, and they're trying to precipitate World War III right now, but they're having a really hard time doing that because there's too many people out there, Dave, that are unwilling to allow our country, we have loyalists, to get into this mess. Now, anything else you want to add to that? Because I know you have to have some information on that.
Well, it's interesting you would say that it took 2 years to convince the bulk of America. I think it took 2 years to convince the media, which convinced the bulk of America. And it was the same thing as the Spanish-American War. That was precipitated by a false flag as well, too. You've got a civil war between Spain and Cuba, and we stuck our nose right in the middle. We sailed the Havana, the main battleship in the Havana Harbor, and coincidentally, the officers were off the ship when the ship was blown up with no proof of who blew it up. Very suspicious. And of course, we go to war with Spain so the globalists can start grabbing Guam and Puerto Rico and the Philippines and so forth for their industrial expansion. Ted, there's nothing new. There's nothing new. You go back to the days of Taft, who was the president before Wilson, who oversaw World War One. You know, Taft was part of a movement to try to institute free trade agreements over the Taft tariff. And you look at those tariffs, and they were trying to do away or at least diminish the tariffs. It was the same thing. The globalist blueprint for this planet has not changed in over 100 years, and we're seeing it play out right now. People often say to me, and I'm not tooting my horn, but Dave, how are you two steps ahead on these events? You write about it, and a week later, it's happening. Well, because I know my history, and I have the globalist playbook because they don't deviate from their script. That's how I know.
That's exactly right. Now, I can't remember if it was Roosevelt or Taft, and I'm pretty sure it was Taft who was Skull and Bones. One of those two were Skull and Bones, either Roosevelt or Taft. I'm pretty sure it was Taft. And you're absolutely right. When Roosevelt lost the election to Taft, he basically ran again in the Bull Moose Party and basically put a three-party split in, which took votes away from Taft, which put Wilson in, which allowed the Federal Reserve to put in. But remember, Taft was a Skull and Bonesman. This was all done intentionally to bring in this new world order. These guys aren't content with the United States being a republic. They're not content with the United States, you know, being independent. They want to have complete and total control because they want to bring us back into a feudal system of government to allow them to come in and take over every aspect of our life, including hooking us into a 5G network so they can keep track of the slaves. That was the big problem they had back during the slavery times. A slave would run away. They'd have enough of it. They'd find a way to get out one night. They'd be gone and they'd beat it and go up to the north or wherever in the world. And they had to have a way to track the unruly slaves, the masses. So now they have that ability with a 5G network and with nanotags. And so this is where they're taking it. That's why the doggone student loans, that's a form of indentured servitude. You can't even bankrupt that junk. It's one of these things that the globals are using to completely and totally enslave an entire generation, Dave. What do you think?
It's the same thing. It's the same chapter, the 35th verse of the globalist playbook. You are so right. And by the way, I did a podcast on this a few days ago on the student loan bubble. And I know people are worried about the car loan bubble, the reemergence of the housing bubble, you know, the stock market bubble that will someday break and bring down the economy. People say, is that it? No. Over $1 trillion will be defaulted in student loans by the year 2023. And as a consequence, that could bring down the economy too. See, you have to think of the segments of the economy like a row of dominoes. You pluck one out and tip it over, the rest of them are going to go. And a lot of people are thinking right now the thing that's going to make the American economy falter will be the student loan debt.
I agree with you because you have over $1 trillion of student loans now that simply aren't being paid back. Now also, let's talk about a little bit, let's change topics a little bit and do a little, few more things. How in the world this lesbian, gay, bigender, transsexual, and whatever else you want to call cisgender, why are these pushers are invented this term cisgender to pretty much to try to make transgenderism natural and normal? Dave, what do you think the goal here is? Why are they doing this? Why are they trying to get rid of male and female and to try to make us a unisex? Why do you think they're doing something that silly?
I can answer that question with one word. It's called singularity. And what we have is imagine a human body in your mind, and adjacent to it is a machine. Now, human bodies have slowly been acquiring machine parts, like you might have a stent or a pacemaker put in for your heart, or you might have a metal device for a broken leg in some location. And we've been slowly acquiring machine parts. Now, going the other way, we've been infusing human qualities of logic and reason into robots. So we're seeing a two-way schema of merging humans and machines, and eventually the globalists want to become melded with machines so they can achieve immortality. This is the thrust of transhumanism. Now, to do that and to get people to accept that, you've got to destroy God's creation, because this is antithetical to God's creation. And God's creation was Adam and Eve, okay, be fruitful and multiply and worship the Lord, raise your kids to be good followers of Jesus. This is what they're trying to destroy. And the thrust of our, let me put it this way, the father of modern sociology, Amitai Etzioni, said, the family can exist without the state. The state can't exist without the family. And this is what the globalists are trying to replace. They want to be the state and the family, and therefore they want to destroy mom, dad, healthy procreation, and kids that will grow up to do the same thing. That's what's behind this, Ted. It's called singularity.
Well, Dave, that's excellent. And that's what exactly why they're bringing in these. I was at Steve Quayle's site the other day, and he actually had an article on his site that said, it was talking about sex robots. Now, I don't really talk about this kind of stuff on my show, but they're bringing transgender sex robots out now. They're bringing all of these different types of perverted machines out that basically will have sex with human beings now. And these machines, some of them look extremely human lifelike. I mean, that's what this is all about, isn't it, Dave? To do exactly what you said, to bring a singularity in, to only allow the people to breed who they want to breed, and the rest of the useless eaters will basically be stuck with a sex robot or whatever, and they'll be either killed through eugenics or not allowed to be breeding through sterility or basically not getting married. I mean, is that what this whole plan is? It all goes back to eugenics and the globalist takeover?
Well, it does. And this is, well, let me go back in time. I'm very, very good friends with an ex-NSA agent named Vance Davis, and my audience has heard that name many times because I've been friends with him for 25 years, and I've interviewed him a ton of times. And in his NSA training, he was taught that their war between good and evil has been going out in the cosmos forever, and that the goal for humanity, for the evil ones, is to capture the soul. But they have been unable to do that. Now remember, this is Lucifer's rebellion against God. And they've been trying to capture the soul, but since they can't, then the other option is for them just to basically wipe out what we know as a human being. And again, we go back to the concept of singularity. Now, how do you get people in mass to buy into this? Well, a beautiful robot that'll have sex with you, and it won't demand that you spend the night and tell them how much you love them. You can get up and leave when you're done. You don't have to pay for the date. And I'm not advocating these are good behaviors, but I'm saying it's going to appeal to a fair number of men. And this is part of a buy-in concept. It's based on the conditioning concept we call operant conditioning, stimulus response reinforcement. And so they're trying to get males to buy into this. I'm waiting for the female equivalent. I don't know that it'll take the form of sex. I'm not sure what it'll take, but right now we only see the robotic industry, you know, servicing men as far as these sex bots go, but women will get their chance too. I just don't know what form it'll come in.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because we're part of a brain called the nucleus accumbens, or pleasure reward center. And whenever a man sees a woman who's provocatively dressed, there's an immediate contraction of nucleus accumbens, and the guy immediately looks at it and goes, wow, you know, that's a hot blonde or a hot brunette or a hot redhead, and, you know, I really like to be with this girl. Now, this is how they act when they're not saved, and sometimes guys act like that when they are saved, and it's a natural response from the brain. Now, what's interesting about this is it doesn't matter if you're looking at a photograph or you're looking at a real person, you have the same response in the brain. This is why pornography is so unbelievably addictive and dangerous, and why George Bush, who was a globalist, who was also skull and bones, said he was going to get rid of pornography, but of course 9/11 happened, but George Bush never had any intentions on getting rid of pornography, because it continues to enslave both men and women and children all over the world because of this nucleus accumbens that we have. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. If you have a robot that looks exactly like a woman, that as basically has the same facial features, and you can't tell the difference, because it's going to be to that point, guys. Within 20 years, they're going to have robots that are so lifelike, you won't be able to tell the difference. If that man sees that provocatively dressed robot, they're going to see the same thing. Their nucleus cubens is going to track as if they'd seen the photograph or a real person, and they won't know any different. And this is where they're going for, because they understand how to control human beings. Human beings have been the most studied species on the planet for centuries now, because they want to have the ability to control every aspect of their lives. And that's why you're constantly hearing false flag reports, false this report, beta test with this, beta test with that. Look what Sweden just did. Sweden just sent out leaflets to 5 million homes on how to prepare for war with Russia. Now, Russia doesn't want a war with Sweden. They have no interest in Sweden. But Sweden has a major problem right now with immigration of Muslim hordes that are coming in and raping their women. So they've got to get the mind off the Muslim hordes, which are about to cause the people in that country to lose their elected positions. So what do? They're going to obfuscate what's going on. So they send out remember, there's only like 9 million people in Sweden. So they send out 5 million leaflets to 5 million homes on how to prepare for war with Russia. What does that do? That takes the minds off the gang-raping Muslim hordes, barbarians that are coming in and doing their women wrong, and makes them think about war with Russia. Again, this is all Tavistock. This is all the Office of Naval Intelligence. This is all Edward Bernays. This is Freud. This is operant classical conditioning, whichever you want to call it, on how to control the masses. What do you think, Dave, about this with Sweden?
Well, you're right. It is a psyops. It's a distraction. The real enemy of the people are immigrants that will not assimilate. I'm sure there's some immigrants there that are fine people, but when your number one crime in Sweden has now become rape and the government does nothing, it's time for the Swedish people to rise up and overthrow that government. And the distraction about preparing for nuclear war with Russia is nothing more than a distraction to take the eyes and ears off the real issues.
Absolutely. Now, also, we've got a lot of stuff going on with the boys from Fort Detrick. And here's an article from, it's called The Pentagon and Bioweapons, and it's by Gaddis Ovidia. I can't really pronounce that name. It's a long name. It says the U.S. Army regularly produces deadly viruses, bacteria, and toxins in direct violation of the U.N. Convention on the Prohibition of Biological Weapons. In fact, a lot of these are done offshore because of the prohibitions. Hundreds of thousands of unwitting people are systematically exposed and tested by these dangerous pathogens and other incurable diseases. In my opinion, a lot of them are even being introduced via the artificial spraying you with the chemtrails. Biowarfare scientists using diplomatic cover test man-made viruses at Pentagon biolaboratories in 25 countries around the world. I'm going to repeat that. Biowarfare scientists using diplomatic cover test man-made viruses at Pentagon laboratories in 25 countries across the world. These U.S. biolaboratories are funded by the Defense Threat Reduction Agency under a $2.1 billion military program, Cooperative Biological Engagement Program, and are located in the former Soviet Union countries such as Georgia, Ukraine, the Middle East, South in East Asia, and Africa. Dave, what do you think about this? They're doing this stuff off the continental United States, so they're not going to be messing up these treaties. Are they the ones that are involved in this huge beta test now of the worst flu season we've had? Is this what we can see for the future as far as the eugenics program? What do you think about the government involved in doing this and releasing this stuff to the population, Dave, and how are they doing it?
Well, I'm really glad you asked me that question, because I have firsthand knowledge of this. And it's going to require just a little bit of a story, so bear with me. Back in the 1990s, the Maricopa County Health Department came to the campus where I was teaching, and they said, we want campus volunteers to be first responders. Your family will get the first drugs in the event of a pandemic or chemical attack or whatever. And I thought, okay, that sounds really good. So I signed up, and then FEMA came in and eventually took it over, and there was a transition period where we had meetings with FEMA. Long story short, one of the men in the transition and I became very good friends. We had a lot in common, did happy hours, went to play basketball with him, lift weights. We did all kinds of things together and became very close. He was pretty guarded about his job. His specialty was counter-bioterrorism, which is why he was at this meeting. Well, going back to my last year of being a college basketball coach, he comes to the campus that I'm coaching at with his wife, and they're waiting for me as I finish practice by my office. And I said, what's up? And my first thought was, oh my gosh, is one of the kids hurt? Is something wrong? And he said, we're bugging out. And this was October of 2012. And I said, bugging out to what? And he goes, we're leaving for an undisclosed location in the southeast United States with other like-minded people from FEMA and a few from DHS. We've been preparing this community now for 4 years. And I said, why? He said, well, first of all, when the chemical and biological attacks come upon the United States, it is our fear because we have firsthand knowledge about the fact that we have these chemical and biological weapons that can be race-specific, ethnicity-specific, that will get blamed and that will be the brown shirts of the day and be killed. We want to be out of harm's way when this comes down. And he told me, and now remember, this is 2012, way before Donald Trump burst on the political scene. He said, if the people that really run this country, and today we'd call them the deep state, if they can't get this populism under control, they will unleash horrible biological and chemical pathogens for which the world does not even know we have. And he goes, Dave, this is deadly serious. Now, at that time, I had relocated to the country out of the city, and he says, do not, under any circumstances, move back into the city. You are much safer where you're at. This is before Donald Trump, but it was 1 year after Zbigniew Brzezinski made this statement. It used to be easier to control a million than to kill a million. Today, it's more preferable and easier to kill a million rather than control a million. So the globalists wanted to smash populism, and that forced my friend to bug out, and he had inside knowledge. And today, with Trump and the rising tide of populism in America, Ted, we're all in a lot of danger.
I agree with you, Dave. In fact, Dave Hodges has a show on Sunday night, immediately after my broadcast from 6 to 7. Dave, you're on from 7 to 10 on Global Star Sunday night, correct?
I got to do the math in my head here. No, it's 8. Sorry. It's 8. Yeah, Eastern time, it's 8 to 11 p.m. And, oh, by the way, let me give myself a shameless plug. This Sunday, I've got the show to end all shows. First of all, I got Michael Snyder on. He's running for Congress. He's a great guest. But the headliner guest of the night, oh, you won't believe this. I got Paul Preston on, and he's going to be on Tucker Carlson in one of the next 2 days. He is one of the mainstays, the leaders of this New California movement that is a leaving the state of California to create a 51st state. And he's coming on. This is going to happen. And they've defeated George Soros in the state of Jefferson and Governor Jerry Brown, who tried to control this movement, and they broke away from the Jefferson movement, and they're getting it done. I truly believe California is going to see a split, and rural California is going to become New California. They've already filed the paperwork. They did so on Martin Luther King Day, so they'd get maximum attention. And Paul Preston is my guest on that night to talk about it.
Well, I highly recommend Dave's show. I've been a guest on his show many times. He's been a bad guest on this show many times. Dave is a good friend of mine. I mean, there's not much that Dave Hodges can't ask me to do for him that I won't do. I mean, we've been with Dave for many, many years. And so, guys, I want to endorse Dave to the best of my ability. I can't make it any stronger of an endorsement than that. But Dave does excellent work, excellent shows, excellent articles, and I really love what he does. Also, let's talk about Puerto Rico right now. Puerto Rico is a mess. You still got half the island without power. Now they're in broken, what's called the broken windows policy of bug killings. The police department is on basically strike in Puerto Rico. I mean, you've got all of these people. The killings are like several hundred people have already died. This is what they're talking about. They're not even giving us real numbers. This is much, much higher than that. Puerto Rico's homicide rate, according to the mainstream news, which I know is higher, is roughly 20 killings per 100,000 residents, compared with 3.7 in the United States mainland, which is like 7 times higher. I believe it's much, much higher.
It's over 100. Ted, I've been told it's over 100.
That's right. So Dave, is this because they decided not to pay the Rothschild boys? Is this because they sent a hurricane over them? We haven't had a chance to talk to you about this, when that hurricane stopped on top of their island, wiped out their infrastructure. Is this in basically retribution for saying, I'm not going to pay the globalist bankers, we're going to default on this $50 billion? And why won't anybody go in there and help them? Or they want the people to leave that island so they can turn it into a destination paradise and basically turn it into another gambling facility, which they love to do with their mafia. What do you think, Dave?
Yes, 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 and there's another reason. We know the globalists don't do things with one single goal in mind. They have multidimensional goals. I mean, they are intelligent people, and they come up with highly intelligent plans, and they never just have one purpose. The one purpose was retribution. Puerto Rico stands as the example. Don't screw with the Rothschilds. You're exactly right. But the unspoken motive here serves the needs of the Democratic Party via the deep state. Where will Puerto Ricans go if they cannot reestablish their lifestyle in Puerto Rico? Well, they'll come to America. And what will they be? They'll be Democrats. And see, look at the Democrats in DACA. They're willing to shut down the government and not have the military paid for 800,000 members of DACA. And it's all the same strategy. An internal memo that was discovered by WikiLeaks said the Democrats do not feel they can win another general election unless they get massive immigrants legalized to vote. And so we've got DACA, we've got Puerto Rico, and there's going to be more. There's going to be more of this, Ted, but it's really politically motivated, you know, from the deep state's point of view. But you're right about the Rothschilds. You nailed that 100%. Now, as far as the end game of wiping Puerto Rico out and turning it into a mecca of gaming casinos and whorehouses and all that, I have heard that, but I don't have any firsthand knowledge. What I have heard that I do have some knowledge on is that they want to make Puerto Rico an eventual energy hub to replace the Gulf of Mexico in the southeastern United States.
Explain to me what that means, Dave.
Well, right now, a lot of our oil comes out of the Gulf. And also algae farms, which is the new bio-craze fuel. This is where the globalists are going to hang their hat when the public finally demands we get off oil and stop fighting wars over it. They're going to go to algae. And Puerto Rico is going to become a new energy source of algae because there's no EPA. Okay, there's no regulatory commissions that are going to control what Puerto Ricans do with their energy industry, and the corporations will have a field day. Now, a lot of people, including Jesse Ventura, felt one of the motivations for the false flag event known as the Gulf oil explosion was to basically wipe out oil production in the southeast, force the population out. In fact, the National Guard, or no, who was it? No, it was the Army Corps of Engineers, admitted on Jesse Ventura's show, they admitted that they had $40 billion to relocate 40 million people out of the Gulf, and they were going to turn it into an energy hub. Well, those plans have fallen on hard times. The people of the Southeast are much more resilient than that, so Puerto Rico is their next best choice.
Now, also, you know, John Moore, who's also a friend of mine, he came up with a theory along with several other scientists, you know, back when the Deepwater Horizon happened. And they said that it really slowed down or impaired or really pretty much stopped the Gulf Stream, which is causing a lot more cold weather up in Europe as all part of the mediation program to not allow us to see what's going on from the continued Arctic methane release and the continuing elevated temperatures to keep the water a lot cooler up there in that area to slow down the Gulf Stream. Do you have any credibility on any of that or any evidence on any of that or any of the theories on any of that on what happened to the Gulf Stream? Because they've been having some wicked, wicked cold winters up in England now and in Europe since this took place with the Gulf Stream. And they're saying that they were able to actually slow it down, especially with all that oil they dumped right into the middle of it. What do you think about that? Is that something that's even possible, or is that just stretching the science too far?
No. You're absolutely right. I got turned on to this idea, and then I discovered I should research it, and then I serendipitously had this appear in my life. Let me explain. I got to know a lady named Kendra Arneson, and she was one of the advocates for people's rights in the Gulf after the oil explosion, and BP was ripping the people off, and they weren't getting proper restitution or medical care as a result of BP's negligence. I say planned action, because they dumped all their stock 2 weeks prior to the event, as did all the other participants like Transocean, the owner of the oil rigs. But that's another story for another time. But what Kendra told me, she said, Dave, I went and visited NOAA today, and they gave her the royal treatment because they thought they could control her because she was becoming a populist voice. And she said, you know, a funny thing's happening, Dave. The Gulf Stream is slowing down. And I thought, uh-oh, because I know what that means. So I started to research it. Well, that year, I had a foreign exchange student in my psychology 101 class, and she said to me, she's from Russia, and she said, we're having the most horrible winters. Our professors are all telling us we're someday going to have to move to Europe. The next year, I had a student from Germany and one from Brussels. And they told me the exact same thing. The European kids are being told by their university professors that it's only a matter of time. And the reason for that is because the Gulf oil stream was slowed down, and that had a mitigating effect out of weather coming in from the north, and now Europe is getting slammed. Now, if you want to destroy the white Western culture, what better way than to make them relocate to Europe?
No, I agree.
That's what I think is behind this.
You know, what's interesting to me, because, you know, if you don't understand how the Gulf Stream works, it's a circular flow because of the way the Earth spins, that starts in the Gulf of Mexico, goes around the bottom of Florida, goes up through the Atlantic Ocean. It's also called the, I think it's a thermoconveyor current. And what it does, it takes all the warm water from the Gulf Stream and the Gulf of Mexico, and it basically channels it all the way up into the British Isles, which keeps these ports in Britain and in Northern Europe from freezing over in the wintertime. Plus, it also mitigates the temperature in England and in northern parts up there. We're talking Norway, Sweden, England, top of Germany, all of those places. And when you slow that Gulf Stream down because you put a heavy viscosity oil into the seawater, it can't flow properly. What ends up happening is it just kind of grinds to a halt, not to mention the core exit they dumped on. I have another friend of mine who's a daily listener, and she got involved with some of that black goo mess that they found on the bottom of the ocean down there, whatever that stuff is. I mean, I could do a whole show on that that's going to be really out there with the outer limits. And she stepped into some of this stuff, which basically burned her foot, caused all kinds of crazy things to happen to her as far as from a health standpoint. In addition to that, she took some of it with her out of the Gulf of Mexico, put it into a can, and took it with her, and they had doggone security people at the airports keeping people from taking any substances they found on the beach with them, as far as not allowing it to be sent around the world or around the country. So there's some crazy stuff going on with that whole deep water horizon, opening the gates of hell, as far as what they said in that one movie when they were digging down that deep, as far as the one that showed the explosion of that oil rig. I mean, this is some weird, weird stuff from a biochemical standpoint, Dave. And now we know that the Gulf Stream has been directly affected by that, not even to mention the core exit and the complete destruction in many cases of some of these estuaries in which these fish breed and the baby fish are made, and the contamination now in the food supply. What do you think about all of that?
Well, first of all, Obama let it happen, and he profited from it. The people behind Corexit, their big investors, are Vanguard 1 and 2, two investment firms, and Obama held shares in both. Corexit is banned in 17 major countries that belong to the G20, and yet the EPA said you can't use Corexit to BP, and they gave the big middle finger to EPA, and they used Corexit anyway. Now, they did this with the Exxon Valdez workers in Alaska, and they're all dead. And this is highly listen, Ted, here's the end game, because I know we're short on time. Here's the end game for the Gulf. Corexit shortens lifespans, and we won't know, you know, for another 25 or 30 years. But I'm telling you, based on what I've read and the Exxon Valdez, you know, statistics, I believe most of the people in the Gulf are looking at lifespans that'll be shortened by about 20 to 25% because of this event.
Are you talking about the workers in the Gulf of Mexico who helped clean this mess up? Or are you talking about the general population in the state of
The general population. Wilma Subra, who is a researcher from Tulane, she studied this, and she found 65 times the expected levels of Corexit kind of cancer-causing agents in the body, like benzenes. And here was her quote. She said, it's in the air, it's in the water, it's in us, it's in our food, it's in our estuaries, it's in our rivers. Memphis had Corexit rainfall that was covered in the media. I put it on a YouTube video, and boom, it was gone a day later. I mean, this is all over the country, Ted. It's affecting all of us, but especially in the Southeast.
You know, I've got a friend of mine who basically is brilliant. She's like a 190 IQ Mensa grad, right? And she found out about the core exit, and she's really into health and nutrition. And she immediately contacted me, and she said when they start spraying that stuff all over the Gulf and in the air, she says, Ted, you and your family need to leave Florida until they stop spraying because of the air contamination. And indeed, we did. We left for 7 weeks after this happened. We actually left the state for 7 weeks and went to Montana. And I told Sharon, I said, I tell you what, we're just going to get out of the state for a bit. Now, there were other factors that also involved, you know, us going to Montana. That wasn't the only reason. But the point was, I felt it was pretty good to us that it was at the same time. Because, guys, when you guys start getting sprayed from the air with these things that are so incredibly toxic, they shorten your lifespan by 20, 25 years, like they did with the Exxon Valdez. I mean, this is a major problem, and they're putting it into the food supply. That's why I'm very careful about eating foods that are out of the estuaries in Florida. And guys, again, I'm going to tell you this. You know, one of the top 10 foods we tell you never to eat are shellfish, lobster, shrimp, oyster,
no fish,
clams, and absolutely no. Do not eat shellfish from the Gulf of Mexico ever again.
No fish.
I mean, I don't eat that stuff. But don't, tell me. Go ahead. Say something, Dave.
Well, it's no fish. You're right. I love fish. I used to eat fish a lot. It's a healthy food, or was, but you don't know where it's coming from anymore. I was in a restaurant once where they were serving fish, and I asked three people, where's your fish from? I got three different answers. They don't know. But, Ted, listen to this. Here's the bottom line. AI is going to replace jobs. AI is making people unnecessary in large numbers. And so the globalists have to have a way to kill us off. You know, everything from chemtrails to Corexit to 5G to the processed foods and sugars and the unhealthy vaccines. I could go on and on. They have a million ways that they're killing us and shortening our lifespans. And as a result of this, Ted, they're going to thin out the herd, and they're going to do it with World War III, and they're going to keep the slow kill methods up because they don't need us. There's a Twilight Zone episode called Obsolete Man, where if you had a profession that was no longer needed, you went before a tribunal and they killed you. That is what we're doing. The trial's already been held, and our executioners are these slow kill methods and soon to be World War III.
Well, yeah, I told my listeners the other day, because I have the most brilliant listeners in the whole world. I mean, my listeners are the absolute best, and they try to eat as clean as they possibly can. I know that. But these guys almost let you know by the articles that are released about how bad the GMO foods are and how bad the products are that we're being fed, that they're going to kill you with it, and they give you the option of eating it or not eating it. And me and my family and my listeners, we decided a long time ago we're going to eat as clean as we possibly can, because quite frankly, they're going to want to decrease the population. They're going to start first with the people that are willing to eat all of the junk and poison their own DNA from it. Dave, I got about a minute left. Go ahead and say a few things and I'll close the show.
Well, real quickly, I'd invite people to come to my YouTube channel. I do 10 to 12 mini newscasts a day. People say, Dave, you need a daily radio show in addition to your Sunday show. That's it. And also, too, I want to close with this one thought. Humanity will triumph. It'll be under Jesus Christ, but we'll have victories between now and then, because North and South Korea now have announced to form the first joint Olympic team and march together. Those people in Korea, wonderful people, I love them, and they're saying, we don't want war. This isn't what life is all about. God bless those people in Korea.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dave. I want to thank you again for being my guest today. My guest again is Dave Hodges today from the Common Sense Show. Guys, I want to thank you so much for supporting Health Masters and supporting, you know, our family and supporting, you know, all of us through prayer and through your financial support by getting your multiple vitamins from us. We have the powdered multiples. We've got the chewable multiples. We've got the regular capsule multiples. I know Dave, you know, my guest I just had, he had a good result as far as the healthy joint rebuilding formula. Guys, I want you to know something. Your prayers are so, so, so just loved by us. We look at you as family, and you guys know that today because I had a baby 2 hours ago, and I'm doing the show to tell you guys what's going on. Thank you for your support. Thank you for allowing us to bring you the highest quality nutritional supplements in the world. I love you guys. I appreciate you. And we'll be back with you tomorrow. God bless. Bye-bye.